Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to Raising the Vibration with Sheena Metal, only on LA Talk Radio.
It's Raising the Vibration right here on LA Talk Radio. For more info on the show, latalkradio.com, raisingthevibrationradio.com. I'm your host, Sheena Metal. I'm at SheenaMetalSpiritual.com, SheenaMetalExperience.com, and I'm the founder of this movement of peace, love, kindness, and unity that this show is an outreach for. It's at RaisingTheVibration.org. That's our nonprofit site, and I am RaisingTheVibration.com. That's our original movement site. You can find us either of those places, and please do. In my spiritual practice, I am RaisingYourVibration.com and SheenaMetalSpiritual.com. We also have a great online community at TheVibrationNation.com. Go and post your hopes and wishes and dreams and intentions and affirmations for the world. I would love that. Memes are welcome. Videos are welcome. Everything is welcome. Just let me know. Also, we have a fantastic blog and vlog at avibrationnation.com. Please go there. I would love it. And so many things are coming soon, including our women's outreach, womenraisingthevibration.com, coming soon. Our spiritual and paranormal community, thevibrationuniverse.com. And our lightworkers outreach at lightworkersraisingthevibration.com. Also, I do workshops, I do webinars, I teach in Dallas, I teach in Los Angeles. I host a couple of great spiritual web series, Living with the Dead and Altered, at wearelivingwiththedead.com and wearealtered.com. It's like an altar in a church, altered. And I'm a staff pastor at the Founders MCC Church, Metropolitan Community Church in Hollywood. And my monthly interfaith service is SaturdayNightSpiritual.com. So many beautiful things are happening. And I'm such a blessed and fortunate person. And you can check out everything I'm doing online. I just did an online webinar, which brings us to our topic tonight. I did my first online webinar on Friday night, facilitated through Miracles of Joy, which is the wonderful place in Louisville, Texas, where I go to teach and take place first in the Embrace Your Spirit Conference in the fall. I'll be there in October, November of this year. And then in the spring, I go out and I do my own aspects of spiritual awareness. And I just did that. So fantastic fun. Taught a workshop for empaths for the first time when I was in Dallas. And then Joy Koff, who is the Miracle of Joy, we decided to redo it as a webinar. I never taught a webinar before. And we did it last Friday. And it will be available soon in replay. I don't know if it is yet, but they're putting a replay link together for it. And then you can still sign up to be a part of it and watch the class. It's at whydoifeeleverything.com. No, it's not there yet. They're working on it. Okay. So they're working on getting it up so everybody can enjoy it, and I will let everybody know why. But that's where it is if you want to make a note that that's coming. Why Do I Feel Everything is what the workshop's called. So I expected lots of calls about lots of things, including how empaths take a lot in, how empaths can sometimes make themselves physically sick from bringing in too much, how empaths obviously have been told they feel too much. They feel, why do you feel everything? Why are you so emotional? Why can't you get over it? And we've talked about that here as a topic. If you go back to our archive shows, you will see where we did a show just about that. Are you an empath? Of course, I knew there'd be lots of calls about dealing with narcissism because empaths attract narcissism the way the North Star drew the wise men to Jesus. But what I didn't expect, and it was so intense that it inspired me to then put together with Joy an idea to do a webinar just about this, was all the questions about spiritual anxiety. How many people who are empathic, who feel everybody's feels, so to speak, How many of those people actually have anxiety from spiritual input? And how many people who are empaths, are sensitive, are intuitive, are people with spiritual gifts? How many of those people, no matter what your spectrum of giftedness, actually suffer from actual anxiety? Because not only do you take in too much spiritually, but you take in too much emotionally, and you don't know how to regulate that input on your physical body. And that many people who are gifted are also suffering from crippling anxiety. And many of these people, while they're helping other people, they are also suffering so much themselves from anxiety. And I know this because I am a lifelong anxiety sufferer. So here I go on a radio show here at LA Talk Radio, sharing more about my life that you didn't know. More sharing tonight, more Sheena's life, sharing. I know, right? If you guys can learn from my crazy and it can stop you from having your own crazy, then thumbs up to everyone. Interestingly enough, the next night, two days later, that was Friday was my webinar. Sunday morning, I get up. And on Facebook, one of my favorite paranormal groups, Psychic Lighthouse, my dear friend, Reverend Belle Salisbury, who is the founder of not only that, but Belle Esprit magazine that I'm a part of as a contributor. And also I'm one of her diamond psychics. There's a post tonight on Psychic Lighthouse, 10 o'clock. I'm going to be talking about anxiety. So I put a post to cheer her on because she's my friend. She's been here many times on all my shows. She's on the advisory board for this movement. And I said, oh, I know a lot about that because I'm an anxiety sufferer. And it came up in my webinar Friday night, and I'm going to be doing an upcoming webinar just about spiritual anxiety and releasing anxiety and dealing with anxiety when you're a spiritual person. 5 seconds later, maybe not 5 seconds, maybe 5 minutes, I get a text message from Belle saying, do you want to be my guest tonight when I do this broadcast? So last night, I was a guest at Psychic Lighthouse talking about anxiety. And it was so moving, and I learned so many things, including things about my own Facebook friends, my own clients that are on Facebook, are my friends on Facebook, that I didn't realize how many people I knew were dealing with anxiety, and they didn't know that I've dealt with anxiety. So I realized there was another closet I needed to come out of. The anxiety sufferer's closet, the recurring anxiety sufferer's closet. Now, and I consider myself in anxiety recovery. There was a time when I was terrified to go anywhere and needed to take an anxiety medication to go somewhere. I do no longer need to do that all the time. I don't even technically need to take a tranquilizer to fly anymore. But an interesting thing happened due to a freak accident 2 weeks ago, two and some weeks ago. I suffered an electrolyte drop brought on by a lot of things, dehydration, exertion, doing the wrong thing at the wrong time. And I suffered very bad vertigo, lightheadedness, and almost passed out. And it's been a process over the last 2 weeks of slowly building my electrolytes up. Well, when you have something like that happen, when the room is spinning 360 around you, I mean, you think I'm having a stroke and I'm going to die. And it's terrifying. And what it did, unbeknownst to me, was it triggered my old deep-seated friend anxiety. And there she was. And so for the last 2 weeks, I have been dealing with anxiety and some panic attacks and trying to figure out what is anxiety related symptoms and what is actually from the electrolyte depletion and, you know, what's something to really be concerned about and what isn't. Now, right now I'm sitting here, I feel fine. I'm looking around, shaking my head, feel fine. I'm a little woozy when I shake my head too much, but I also have a vestibular disorder from a car accident, which means my inner ear was damaged in an auto accident. And I do get dizzy. I get a little seasick sometimes on the airplane. I get terribly seasick in boats. Roller coasters are a thing of my past. So I have to remind myself when I get a little dizzy, hey, guess what, bozo? You just get a little dizzy. That's you. But once you've had something scary like that happen, you're always looking for the signs, the signs, the signs, the signs. And you freak yourself out. And the more you freak, the harder it is to get out of it. Now, on top of that, I'm also here on the radio. I'm seeing clients. I'm teaching webinars. And I'm taking in a lot of people's energy, as I tend to empathically. And my normal go-to is I take it in and then I release what I don't want. But because I'm nervous about this happening again now, I'm having trouble releasing. And my release mechanism is not working the way it should. And I was feeling perfectly fine, right? Until I started talking about it, and now I'm feeling a little weird. And that, my friends, is the anxiety. So we're going to talk all this show about anxiety. Do you have it? Is it emotionally rooted? Do you know why you get it? Is it spiritually rooted? Is it connected to your empathy? Is it not connected to your empathy? What are you doing to release it? What are you doing to get better? You know, every week on the show, it's like a powerful healing circle. This week, it's going to be an extra powerful healing circle. Because this week, we're really going to heal each other, my friends, from something that pains us all. So if you want to get on the show with me and talk about this, you know I would love it. Because that's what we do here, right? And it's so easy to get on the show. Send me a text message, 818-437-0886. I'm going to go put this link around so everybody knows where we are. 818-437-0886. You know I'd love it. And let's do this. Let's heal people. Let's heal each other. Let's do this right. Hang on. We're putting this together right now, my friends. All right. We got the link ready to go. So, yeah, perfect. I can start putting this around. I've got a couple people already lined up, a few people to get on the air. We're going to get more of you on. But right now, I'm going to get this link out a couple of places. So my battle with anxiety started, well, you know, I can tell you from birth, I was always a kid that was very concerned that something was going to go wrong with me medically. And every time I had to go to a doctor or anything, I always envisioned the worst case scenario. So because of that, I can't honestly tell you that I think I was ever 100% free of anxiety. But when my anxiety triggered was, interestingly enough, in my now beloved Texas. We were driving out here on the 40 freeway, driving from Baltimore, where I live, to here. So we went through Tennessee, through Arkansas, through Texarkana, and into the top of Texas. And I remember that we stopped at a place, and I got one of those long suckers, you know, that's all the different colors wrapped around each other, and I was just so excited. I was in fat child heaven. I was 13. I was in fat teenager heaven. And my father went to sleep. We had a little converted RV van, and that's what we drove out in. My mother was driving, and I was sitting on the little couch behind her. And I always got a little car sick when I sat on that thing. I never before my accident when I was 23 ever got car sick in a car, but for some reason then if I sat on that couch, so instead of sitting facing the windshield, I was sitting facing the side door. Sometimes if I sat there too long, I'd get a little car sick. So we're driving through North Texas in 1980, right? And basically driving for hours and hours and hours, and there is nothing as far as the eye can see. Remember once my mom looking at me and saying, are we still on the earth? Not even a tumbleweed. I mean, I'm sure now it's all built up, but you know, then no. And I have not been through that part of Texas since. And I'm sucking on my sucker, right? And I probably just got too much sugar. And I started getting kind of sick to my stomach, and I started feeling sick. And we had a little porta potty area where you could pull a curtain here and a cabinet here and make a little makeshift toilet area. Not a lot of privacy. And I remember I went to the little porta potty toilet and I threw up. And I suddenly got very sick. And I had to, you know, everything wanted to come out both ends. And there was nowhere to stop. And there was nowhere to get out of the car. And I became very panicky of being stuck in the middle of nowhere and there not being anywhere to stop. And it was a long time till we even got to where there was like a gas station or something. And then we moved to California. We got here. And that just sort of stuck with me. And I started getting very panicky about being in situations that were out of my control and feeling sick. And that led to, you know, almost 2 decades of really bad anxiety. And there would be times where it was better and times where it was worse. And I had a lot of health problems as a kid. I had a lot of problems with my reproductive system. I had a lot of surgeries, a lot of painful stuff. So it wasn't like nothing ever happened to me, because things did happen. And then that reinforces it, right? You think something's going to happen, then something is happening, and then you do have to have a surgery, and then you think, oh my God, see, I knew it. I knew something was wrong. So then when something seems like it's wrong again, you're like, well, it was right the last time. And it really is with anxiety, the balance of building up the positives and building up the negatives, and sort of the combination of knowing when to do when. So that's what is the most important, to know how to keep building up your positives. Because if you let the negatives build up, the anxiety will get worse. The more positive experiences you have, the more you can push it off. And I'll give you an example. So I was feeling really freaked out that I still wasn't better from this electrolyte balance. And last Tuesday, I talked to my physical therapist, Dan Magnus, and he explained everything to me, why it happened. The guy's a genius with the body. Then he, because he had explained it to me, I started feeling better. And then I was on the air all Wednesday. Tuesday, I do 4 shows here at LA Talk. And then I got through Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. Saturday, I went down to Orange County. I ran a bunch of errands in the heat. Felt great. Went to dinner with my friend's house. Felt terrific. Then last night, felt great all day. Did that video with Belle. Felt terrific. Got up to walk down the stairs. And, you know, I'm walking with my cane because my knees are healing. And I had not eaten at night. And I probably was a little lightheaded from not eating. I was going down the stairs and I felt like this much lightheadedness. And I thought, oh my God, it's back. See, it's not the electrolytes. I'm drinking the smart water. I'm doing what Dan said. And then I literally got downstairs, turned my air conditioner off, got upstairs, sat on my bed, had a full-blown panic attack. That then passed because I know how to talk myself out of it now. But then you ask yourself, like, what? It is what it is, you know? It really is something you deal with your whole life, and it's just a matter of keeping it in check. And I'm telling all this right now because I'm realizing how many of you out there have this problem with anxiety. And I don't want you all to have this problem. I want you guys to be happy and healthy and understand there is life beyond anxiety, and that you can get to the point where, you know, you can fly on your own without drugs, and you can go to a big party that's packed with people and not feel uncomfortable, because I'm there. I've been there. But I also am telling the story of now because I want you to know that there are situations where you will have backlashes. You will have setbacks, and not to beat yourself up over it. It's always waiting around the corner to come back. And it comes back in the strangest places where you didn't expect it. And now when it comes, I fight it, man. I fight it like there's no tomorrow, and I will continue to fight it. And putting positivity in there, right? When I got here, I was a little freaked out because this is the first time since it happened last night where I had to actually be somewhere, right? So I was a little freaked out. And my hands were a little shaky. And I was holding my hand up. If anybody watched the broadcast, you could see me holding my hand up. And my hand was shaking a little bit. But then miraculously, I do 2 hours of radio, now in my third hour of radio, which honestly, if I was dying of some serious illness, probably would be exhausting me and not rejuvenating me. And I feel terrific. So you have to associate it for what it is. And if you're an empath, a lot of times it's not even yours. You're taking on somebody else's, although I thoroughly believe this is mine. So anyway, if you want to get on the air with me, 818-437-0886. That's 818-437-0886. We are going to get Elizabeth on the line because she texted earlier to get on with us about this. And then we're going to get you on, whoever you are. We've got a couple people waiting, and then it's all you. So 818-437-0886. That's 818-437-0886. We're just going to put Elizabeth in the system. And then we're rocking. So I know Elizabeth from last year's Embrace Your Spirit Conference. Then she was also a part of this year's My Aspects of Spiritual Awareness seminar in Dallas. And, you know, another thing, different things pile up and lead to anxiety. So I had that incident 3 weeks ago where my phone went swimming and I lost a lot of my contacts, a year and a half worth of contacts. And and I didn't have that phone for a day. And that's a feeling of being insecure, right? I mean, different things make you feel like you're off kilter. And when you feel like you're off kilter, that's when you're in a place where the anxiety can come back. So we're talking about anxiety. Do you have it? Where do you think it comes from? What are you doing to get past it? All this show, if you want to get on with me, 818-437-0886. That's 818-437-0886. And I don't even know if you've texted me in the last couple minutes because I can't check my phone until I get Elizabeth on with me, because that's how it works.
Hello.
Welcome to the show, my friend. Thanks for being first tonight. You're the best.
Oh, no problem. Thank you. How are you doing?
I'm wonderful. How are you?
I'm good. Speaking of anxiety, I'm breathing through this on the radio.
Oh, really? Does this make you nervous?
Just a little bit.
Nah.
But I'm comfortable with you enough to do it. So.
Good. Good. It's just like we're having a conversation. Just like we're having coffee and a bunch of people are eavesdropping. That's what it's like.
All right.
Pretty easy. So tell me about you. Let's talk about anxiety. Are you somebody that has it? Have you had it for your whole life?
I have. Yes, I've had anxiety. Yes, as far back as I can remember. When I was a teenager, it definitely got worse.
Yeah.
And I was not aware enough in my gifts and knowing how I'm an empath that not all of it was mine.
Yes.
And I still work through trying to identify, you know, when it's mine and when it's not, and trying to let go of it either way.
Yeah. It's hard. I mean, even when it is, I mean, I know a lot of it is just full on mine, and it's still hard to let it go. I think it's easier to let it go if you realize it's somebody else's. But I think that the thing in us as empaths, Elizabeth, that allows us to take in other people's stuff and process it and have a large amount of empathy towards it and to be able to feel other people's situation so that we can help them, is the same thing in us that enables us to imagine every possible outcome that could happen from everything and then panic the worst is going to happen.
Right.
You know? Like, I don't like elevators. That the idea of being in a closed box completely freaks me out. I've gotten pretty used to the plane. I don't love it. I wouldn't voluntarily fly just for kicks, but I get it. But it's a lot bigger than the elevator, and it has a door that can eventually be opened. Well, I guess the elevator does too. But I know people that like say, "Oh, I had this job on the 75th floor," and I'm like, "Didn't you ever worry?" And they're like, "God, never occurred to me I get stuck in it." Like, I think that empaths, we're always creating every possible scenario, right?
Right. And I also, like, I had like been told that, you know, I always grew up with these fears,
right,
and being told that they were like irrational, like fear of going hungry or my house burning down.
Yeah.
And I recently had a past life regression and was told, yeah, like you in a past life, you were in a house and it was burning down. You escaped from it. But, you know, I was an orphan and not well fed. And so now I'm like, okay, I'm wrapping my head around, well, they're not really just irrational fears. It's just that something I brought into this life with me.
Yeah.
And I've been able to let go of those things that I have a lot of anxiety around. And so that was helpful.
Yeah, absolutely. And you know, and it's, my mother was an orphan in real life and almost starved a bunch of times, not in the orphanage, but in her very poor upbringing before she got, my grandmother died and she got to the orphanage. And when she got older and she had trouble walking, and I was doing her grocery shopping for her and having the groceries delivered online, man, she would call me sometimes in like a full blown panic because she was out of eggs or she was out of milk, or do you know what I mean? It was a big deal for her. Because she was so scared that would come back. And that's that kind of anxiety. Right now, there are probably millions of other people on the earth who almost starved to death however many times in this life or in another life. And, you know, the fridge could go without milk for 3 weeks and they wouldn't give a thought to it. But for some reason, there's something about the way that empaths work that we're able to get into other people's heads and feel what they feel. And somehow I think that works against us with our own anxiety in our own lives.
Right.
Or it can. So what do you do when the anxiety starts? What do you do to talk yourself out of it? And how much better has it gotten? How old are you?
I'll be 23 in a couple of weeks.
Okay. See, mine was still bad then. Mine got better like right around the time my early 30s is when mine got better.
Mm-hmm.
Mine was raging at 23, but so I'm very thankful to you that yours is better.
Yeah, I definitely think that, you know, it's gotten better. And, I took medication for a while, because last year I did have an incident and I'm recovering from, basically PTSD with something that happened, you know, here in this life last year.
Sure.
I'm sorry.
Sure. Yeah, absolutely.
Okay. Yeah. And, but to answer your question, what I do now is I meditate a lot, like every day, just almost in a constant state of just being mindful. And when I feel anxious, I like try to forget about whatever I have going on, like here physically, and I just try to like remove myself from that and just calm my spirit down.
Yes. Yeah. It's so important that, and you have to just get yourself out of your head, right? It's
right.
The most it's so funny because the night that I got so dizzy, everybody kept saying to me, all my light worker friends, right? Well, you're not going to do it. Like, just turn your phone off and don't talk to clients. I had 6 clients that night. So 6 hours of clients. And I have to tell you, it got me out of my head. I felt terrific. As long as I was helping other people, because I was still a little dizzy for the first 24 hours. I mean, if I looked up at the ceiling, things were a little spinny. So I just didn't look up at the ceiling. But I just sat, at the time I didn't know to drink the smart water, but I just sat there and drank water and ate some, you know, electrolyte rich little food and just helped other people. And it passed through that first day. So when a lot of times, it's funny because, you know, people will tell me, or other light worker friends will say like, oh, you know, slow down, or, you know, don't do this or don't do that, or just, you know, when you don't feel good, just stop working. I actually find that staying in service and helping people actually makes me feel better than just sitting at home worrying about it.
Right. Okay.
Whether it's a physical thing or an emotional thing. I think that we live in sort of a strange society. I know, big news, right? Where as soon as something goes wrong, everybody's answer is, well, just slow down, just go away. It's the universe trying to tell you to slow down. Well, okay, but sometimes the answer isn't to not do anything or to walk away. Sometimes the answer is really to love your way through something until it's better, you know? So,
right.
this has been a wonderful 6 months for me. And you saw me walk with my cane. This has been a wonderful 6 months for me while I've had this challenge with my knees recovering. It's been a beautiful spiritual time. And it's been, which is one of the reasons I'm talking about the anxiety. It's been an interesting time because there's something about me. It's my Aries, I think, Liz, where people always think there's nothing, like there's nothing wrong with you. Like you can handle anything. Like even my own doctor, I went to my doctor and I was nervous about my blood test results and they came back and I'm like, I can't tell you how nervous I was. And he's like, you just seem like you can handle anything. And I'm like, really? So I think it's this last 6 months has been an exercise in people seeing me vulnerable. And I think that's been good for others. And I think it's been good for me because showing vulnerability in front of people is something that's been very hard for me. I'm great at being vulnerable if you need my help and you need my love. But when it's me that needs something, I'm not so great with it. So this compiled on it. We're now at what? It was the January 17th when my first knee went out. So it's been 6 months, right? Has really been an exercise in almost 7 months, has really been an exercise in me learning humility through vulnerability. Because I do believe everything happens for a reason. So that's why I'm breathing through the anxiety right now. And isn't it interesting that right when all of a sudden the anxiety crept back up on me after all this time, then suddenly it's this hot button topic and everybody wants to talk about anxiety. It's very strange. Right. Very strange how things come into your life at the right time. So what are you doing now to keep the anxiety at bay?
Like at this like very moment, you know, just kind of, you know, worrying, like, well, first I'll just explain, like, I worry about like, well, how am I going to sound or am I going to start like just speaking like nonsense or whatever. Right. And so I'm just like, okay, it's okay. This is like a safe place. And I like tell myself like certain affirmations and just remember to like breathe and slow down and just that's what I was doing. Like I've been listening to the show and the whole time I'm like, okay, she's gonna call me and I'm just gonna have to okay just breathe, she's gonna call, it's gonna be okay. And thankfully I actually have my mom with me who is a big help in keeping me just trying to like keep my mind clear and being supportive.
Yeah.
So that's what I'm doing like at the current moment. And I like, but typically like on an everyday kind of basis, I like just having my, what I call me time. And it's the time where I get to, you know, just be by myself and be like just with myself and sit with my thoughts without judgment. And process, okay, this is mine. How am I going to handle it? This is not mine. And, you know, sending that energy, like, out, you know, sending it away for myself.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And you will learn in time how to identify what's yours and what's not yours. I mean, it's and even more than that, you'll learn how to not actually feel in your actual body somebody else's anxiety. You'll be able to feel that someone has anxiety without you feeling the anxiety yourself. I mean, that really is the trick, I think, for when empaths start to really get it. You learn to feel that other people have things, but you're not necessarily letting all those things play through your body. You know, for instance, I was in a play once. I come from an acting background, right? Mm-hmm. I was in a play once. And the it was all women, and the cast was kind of split between the method actors and the non-method actors. And, you know, the non-method actors, we were like laughing and, you know, joking about silly things and passing brownies back and forth. And in the method room, everybody was very quiet, and there was like Enya playing, and it was dark. And I would walk by the dressing room and be like, what's going on in that dressing room? So the lead in the play, who we became very close, and she was playing a character who was dying from cancer. And she didn't want to extend the run. They wanted to extend our run. And she didn't want to do it because she was like, well, you don't have to die of cancer every night. And I was like, yeah, you don't have to either. She was like, but the character's dying of cancer. And I'm like, yeah, but you don't have to take that character's experience and literally run it through your body every night. Interpret it, but keep it away from your own core so you don't get damaged. I never realized in all my time teaching actors that when I came out and started really embracing my psychic gifts, that it was going to be the same thing that I told baby light workers, which is, you know, you don't have to actually feel everybody's feelings. You feel them and acknowledge that they're there, but you don't have to let them play through your whole body. Because if nothing else, Liz, it just beats your body up, and you don't need to do that to your own organic meat sack is fragile, and it's only meant to last you 100 years. So it's getting beat up enough with your own stuff. Don't beat it up more with other people's stuff, you know?
Right.
And I think you just learn to do that after a while, and you learn to feel how someone's feeling. You know, if I'm sitting next to somebody who feels nauseated, I feel their nausea, but I don't feel nauseated myself. And
yeah, that just happened to me, actually, the other night. I was in a metaphysical support group, and I don't know who I was getting it from, but I literally got physically ill, and I'm just like, okay, this is not mine.
Yeah, right,
and
exactly. Yeah, and some people, I mean, God love them, they're not doing it to be awful, but some people will actually put it on you because they're trying to let it go. They're not purposely trying to saddle you with it, but they're trying to let it all go, and anywhere it lands is fair game. Because they're just trying to get rid of it because they hate the way it feels. And so you have to be careful about stuff like that when you're in support groups. And, you know, you have to be careful sometimes with clients that you just keep a little bit of that barrier there so that you're not, you know, being affected by everybody's everything. Because you didn't sign up for that, and that's not your job. You know, no human being, not just psychics, but doctors and nurses and paramedics and firefighters and police officers and anybody who deals with, you know, people's freakouts on a regular basis, you know, the lady who answers the phone at the insurance company, the people who you know, the administrators in a hospital that check patients in the ER, like, you know, those people have to learn after a while, you can't take in everybody's everything, or it's just going to get ugly. And be okay with that, you know? Sweetie, you're going to be just great, and I'm so proud of you, and you're doing so great, and you're doing such a wonderful job with your gifts, and I just think you're terrific, and when I'm 23 again, I want to be just like you. Thank you for this call, and you know I love you, and you take care and keep me posted on what you're doing. How about that? 23 years old, and she's already that much of a rock star. I had to tell you, 23 years old, I had just had my near-death experience, and I didn't know which way was up, so... I admire people who already understand their gifts and are rocking and rolling with it at such a young age. That's awesome. So I remember I used to think, God, my mom didn't come out with her gifts till her 50s. Go figure. If I had gifts, I would come out sooner than that. Really, Sheena? Yep, I was in my early 50s. I was almost exactly the same age my mother was when I started. No, maybe not. Okay, so if I was 18 or 19 when she first started talking about it. So when I was 19, she was 52, which is the age I am now. But I really started talking about it 5 or 6 years ago. So I guess I got her beat a little bit. But, you know, by this much, people, by a tiny bit, not by much. All right, so we're going to get Noelle on with us now. And then you could be next, but I've got to check my phone because I haven't checked to see who's next. If you want to get on, 818, text me, 818-437-0886. That's 818-437-0886. We're talking about anxiety. How much of it is spiritual? How much of it's emotional? How much of it is a learned behavior? How do you get rid of it? Does it make a difference? Is it just as terrifying whether you're getting it on a spiritual level or it's actually your own emotional system kind of shorting out on you a little bit and giving it to you? And most of all, how do you get over it? Because, man, there's a lot of people suffering with it. Noelle, welcome. How are you, my friend?
Good. How are you, Sheena?
I'm wonderful. It's good to hear your voice.
Thank you. You too.
What's on your mind and how may I help you?
Oh,
Let's talk about anxiety. How do you have it? How do you deal with it? How do you get rid of it? When do you get it? And how much of it do you think is spiritual?
Okay. Yes, I have it. I didn't really know exactly what it was for a long time. I was told many times that I had depression, which I didn't really know the difference between the two.
Right.
And they tried to give me medicines and different things for it, and none of it worked. And it actually made things worse, if not, you know, anything else. And it wasn't until I was probably over 30 that I realized that it had something to do with gifts and with abilities and with all the other stuff. And it was kind of an eye-opening experience for me, because then I realized there wasn't anything really you could magically take to fix it. You had to, like, work on it,
yeah,
which is a whole different program.
Yeah, I know, right?
I think I was kind of born with it to some degree.
Yeah, I do too. And inherited, my mother had it. Do you have people in your family had it?
Yes, definitely. Uh-huh. I think that it was like that. And then I also found out that my parents kind of had some marital problems a lot, but they were definitely having them when I was being grown, so to speak.
Right.
And I think that probably only made things worse. But most of what I can really talk about are just learning to deal with what your gifts are, how they work, what is their purpose. And I came to understand that much of mine was to keep me safe.
Yeah.
So raising your anxiety or raising whatever or alerting you of something, you know, those were things that you needed to stay safe.
Okay. So were there times in your life where your own anxiety paid off?
Yes.
Oh, wow. Can you?
Not as many as I would like to have say there were, but yes, definitely.
Okay. Were there times where your anxiety didn't pay off and it was just a waste of time?
Yeah, I think I'm a stubborn person.
Okay.
So I tend to not listen maybe when I'm being told or shown something.
Okay.
If I'm not ready to hear it.
Okay.
So definitely. But there were many times when there was something going on for me, and when I would look into it further, I would realize, okay, this is trying to show me something or tell me something. And I would, you know, get information or be shown things that I wasn't really seeing on my own.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, it's funny because in the past with me, before I really learned how it all works and before I really consciously made an effort to follow the things in my own life that I would have advised somebody else. So, to practice what I preach, to walk my talk, I would get that kind of anxiety around people who were trouble. But then mm-hmm. my conscious mind would go, oh, they're so nice. Why are you being like that? Everything's fine.
Mm-hmm.
And then I'd believe mm-hmm. in somebody. The truth is there is a definite anxiety. I was in a situation once. How much do I say, Noelle? I was in a situation once where I was starting to date somebody new.
Oh, good. This is good.
And you like it already? And this person's friend, and I'm using finger quotes, friend, attached herself to me and basically wanted to be my BFF. So me being the, rose-colored glass-wearing Aries that I am, went, isn't that nice? This is going to be so easy because the friends all like me. Well, it turned out she wasn't just the friend, she was the ex. For a very short period of time, many, many years ago. But every time I was around her, and I sort of started hanging around her because I was told that it was a situation where I was going to bump into the person I was sort of starting to maybe date. I just kind of felt this sickness in my stomach. There was just something about the whole situation. But yet I just kept thinking, but she's so nice and she's being so nice to me. And I just kept going like a freak, like just a fool. And then, of course, it all blew up. It got super ugly. The minute I realized what was going on and tried to back away, I was already in the bear trap. And then it was, you know, typical crazy person behavior, cop calling, and I'm going to pretend you're my stalker and tried to kill me. And then I was just, and I just had to run away. So that's not the first time that's happened. There always is a great deal of anxiety. Sometimes I meet someone and they just give me anxiety. But in the past, I would think because I naturally had anxiety that I was probably just being a person with anxiety. And would think, well, why are you being so scared of this person? This is just your social anxiety. There's nothing to be scared of. Look at how nice they are.
Yeah.
And every time, I remember I took a trip with somebody many years ago, and this person was so awful and abusive, not just to me, but in general on that trip to everyone, that I literally came home and was so affected by it that I had no idea what to, I mean, I just felt like I wanted to cry for a week. I was so beat down. And then, but then like an idiot, right? I got over it. I rationalized it. I realized, okay, well, you know, we won't travel with that person again. And I kept being friends with that person. And then years later, you know, I did something else that offended, because that kind of person's always getting offended by somebody. You hate to say the N word, but narcissist. And then I was out. I was in, then I was out. And then I'm always like, scratching my head, like, how did that happen? And then, you know, spirit says to me, well, geez, dummy. We sent you like 500 clues. Which one were you going to get? So it's interesting sometimes how we can be the best helpers and therapists and judges to other people. We can be judges of character. We can help other people. Yet when somebody in our life is that awful, we can't see it. And I think one of the things...
It's 100% true. Yes.
One of the things that I'm really, really working on in my life right now is how to begin to identify it in my own life and to practice what I preach. And I think that's part of this anxiety too. I think the not being able to walk the last 7 months, I think there's a certain amount of anxiety that builds up with that vulnerability. And also, I'm also going through another one of those things where I'm purging out, hopefully, the last set of people that have to be purged out that I finally have learned, and this is just the fallout from it. But I think that kind of... I think that when you're a light worker and people are throwing their bad juju at you, like I always say, I don't necessarily believe that curses work, but I do believe that people can throw positive and negative intention at you. And I think sometimes we pick up that negative intention and it manifests in us like anxiety, which when you think about was really how it was intended. It was intended to be thrown at us to make us doubt ourselves or feel defeated or feel less than, and then it works. It doesn't work quite in the way they intended it, but it does eventually work in another way.
Well, I 100%. I mean, I have family members who fit into that category, an ex who fits into that category. And I think what really made me learn, understand it was, I don't know if he knew exactly what my gifts were exactly, but I think he understood that they were like tools that were available.
Yeah.
And when I figured out that he was using them, much like you would a spatula or a spoon or what have you, then I was like, okay, this isn't funny. I can't have this going on.
Yeah.
And as I really delved into it and I looked at him and what he was doing, what he was interested in, you know, I realized that he manifested me. And I know that sounds really strange, and I don't mean to sound I'm not being boastful in any way, shape, or form, because it was definitely not a pleasant experience for me. But there were certain things that he wanted or needed, much like a narcissist would. And he found those tools available to him through a person. And once I realized that, then I was able to really leave the situation. But yikes.
But you see that a lot. I mean, now we've mentioned the N-word and we're off like a shot with narcissists, but here I go. I always say that Bram Stoker's Dracula, I believe, and I've been told a million times of the folklore and this isn't the truth. Okay. All right. In my personal belief, when Bram Stoker wrote Dracula, even though there was Vlad the Impaler, and even though vampire lore had been around for centuries, I believe that particular story was him paralleling a narcissistic sociopath. Because, come on, the guy goes into your neighborhood, right? He's super charming, and everybody loves him. Very mysterious and charming, and then suddenly everybody's chi starts getting drained until they die. I mean, come on, how many times has a narcissist moved into a friend circle and ruined everything? I mean, also, the reason I bring this up is, right, Dracula had to have Renfield to do the dirty work. And a lot of, because there were things that he just couldn't do because he couldn't go out during the day and he couldn't do this and he couldn't be seen here. Narcissists oftentimes will attach themselves to a host, almost always, because that's how they feed, right? But sometimes their host also becomes their facilitator because they know nobody would buy what they were selling. So they find somebody else who will, who kind of makes them look good to other people to, in essence, sort of do their dirty work for them. It's very common. And you know, when I was in that narcissistic relationship, I don't know that I did any dirty work. I didn't allow my ex to hurt anybody. But I did push my ex into a lot of career opportunities that I probably shouldn't have, and did a lot of selling and you know, swigging and look at this, isn't this wonderful? And use my own connections to push forward. Because I was Renfield. I mean, I was the host, right? And that's what you do. So I think that number one thing is you can't beat yourself up for anything that happens when you're involved with a narcissist, including your anxiety. I mean, I've talked to people in the narcissist abuse recovery support community. That's a mouthful, isn't it? Who actually have, like, all their hair has fallen out and they've lost, like, they've gotten where they're like 70 pounds. And I mean, a narcissist literally can kill you. First of all, sometimes they just flat out murder you, but then sometimes they just they take away your will to live until you just fade away. So they're serious business. I mean, we laugh and joke about them, and you know, I say things on the show all the time, like you know, starve the narc, starve the dark. But you know, it's true. You're in danger when you're involved with one of them. It's not always the danger of being murdered. But it is the danger of your spiritual, emotional, and physiological self being damaged.
Well, I definitely think that something really awful could have happened. And I think what led me to understand that really clearly was the passing of my father.
Sure.
And I was able to be in contact with him after and learn some things that I maybe weren't paying attention to, and so definitely was able to get out of it, but barely alive is how I would term it. And I know that sounds weird, but
no, me too. I feel the same way. Sometimes I look back on it and I think, God, how did I survive all that time and I'm still alive?
Yeah,
because
I was literally having unexplained health issues.
Yeah.
On top of health issues.
Yep.
And I had went to every doctor and they were like, well, we don't know why this is happening, or we don't understand, or we don't this thing, you know, and nobody could explain it. But my kidneys were shutting down, or this was happening, or that was happening, or, you know, whatever. And just definitely a very weird year. So just knowing that, I'm very careful around being around others, especially newer people. And if you meet someone, either a friend or not or whatever, that you like, a lot of times you're like, I just want to spend more time with them. And that's the whole goal, is I just want to see them more, spend more time with them, go to lunch, go here, go there. And even though that's what you want to do, I find just really slowing that down.
Yeah.
And then just really carefully taking breaks.
I agree.
And analyzing the time, and were there any concerns? Were there any red flags? Did they do anything or say anything weird? Because a lot of times it takes you a couple of days to really, you know, think about things.
I agree.
And especially if you're busy.
Yeah. Yep. I agree. And narcissists will try to push you into the relationship as fast as they can. Even just a friendship. You know, the one that I just removed myself from, which was, thankfully, I've not made any dating faux pas since the ex tried to have me arrested for murdering her. I mean, seriously, trying to murder her, that I showed up on her doorstep with a knife and tried to murder her. I mean, what kind of crazy?
Nice.
But, you know, narcissists are convincing and they can get people to believe stuff. Thankfully, nobody believed that. But that's another situation I barely got. So I went right from the abusive relationship with the narcissist into a relationship with the crazy ex. And that's when I went, no. And I learned. But then it started coming up in friendships because I still wasn't healed from it. And this one that I just let go, the same thing. I mean, after knowing this person for like 5 seconds, it was like, you're my best friend and we're going to be best friends forever. And I'm sorry, but now I get a little PTSD when people start in with that right away, because it's like, dude, you don't even know me. Like, you don't even know me now. But, you know, but on a spiritual level, I do believe in soul pods. Noelle, and I do believe that you meet people and you instantly know you've known them from before. And you do sort of fall in love with them, either romantically or platonically. So, I mean, the minute I met my best friend when I was 14, I mean, I just knew she was my sister forever. So I do believe that happens. But you still, in the back of your mind, have to say, well, you know what? Everything is temporary and pending until we get a little closer and discover, because man, narcissists will push it with you and they will try to get close to you, and then they will do different things just to cause the anxiety. And I do really believe that the fallout from this particular last one and all of the, you know, because sometimes when you let one go, you sort of have to cut a circle around. It's like when you have cancer, right? They don't just take the tumor. They cut a circle around the tumor. You have to cut a circle around all of the people that are still under the influence so that you can literally be away. And I do think that that's traumatizing. And I think if you already have anxiety, that can trigger more anxiety, you know?
It can, yeah. It definitely can.
So you just have to be, careful.
You do. And also when you're, if it's a romantic relationship, the feelings that you get in a new part of a romantic relationship, it's hard to separate them from sometimes feelings of anxiety.
Yes.
They kind of sit in the same chakra, I guess, if you will. And if you're not paying close attention, it's hard to know the difference.
I agree. Yeah. Yep. Yep. Exactly. Yeah. It's life is not easy, right? The lessons the universe throws at us are not easy.
Well, yeah, I don't know. I go back and forth because people say that it's something you chose, and other people say it's the universe, and I don't really know.
I'm
going to have a serious talk with myself when I get there. So,
you know, I'm a universe girl. I really believe that, because this is why I'm a universe girl. Not because I want to blame somebody else, although, gosh darn it, universe, it's not that. It's that I really believe that if we already were enlightened enough to figure out our entire life path, we probably wouldn't need to still be here in a body. You know, you don't take a class in college and they say, okay, well, you can make up your own curriculum and you can make up the tests and you can decide what the homework is. Do you know, I really believe, and I like working within a system where there is something bigger and more evolved and more enlightened and more old and educated than me, helping me to grow. That's why I think it's universe.
Well, I'm happy to go with that theory. I do need to write them a letter and have them maybe remove some things or edit some things right now. But
dear teacher,
yeah,
here are some things I did not enjoy about the class.
I've got a lot going on, and yes. I like Thanksgiving, but not all year. So
exactly. Next semester when you teach the class, my advice would be less narcissist. Thank you, one of your favorite students. Yeah, nope, yes. I totally get it, my friend. You are wonderful, Noelle. Thank you so much for this. Thank you for being part of the show, and always let me know what's going on with you, and please stay in touch. This is what we do on Raising the Vibration. We take calls from awesome people. We talk about great topics, and we have a fantastic time. So if you want to be on the air with me tonight, just send me something, 818-437-0886. That's 818-437-0886. And get on the show with me. Sorry, I'm texting people. Texting our next call-in. Doing my thing. Texting our call-in. We're talking about anxiety. Do you have it? Do you think it's spiritual? What are you doing to deal with it? What are you doing to purge it out? Where do you think it comes from? And what are you doing to purge it out? I didn't even know that spiritual anxiety would be anything, any two words that people would put together. I thought it was an oxymoron or anything that anybody would want to talk about until I taught this webinar last Friday. And it seems to be a hot button topic that people want to talk about. So, okay, we're going to talk about it. I'm thrilled. All right, so we're going to get Carol on with us right now. And if you want to get on, 818-437-0886, that's 818-437-0886. Get on with me. It's fun. And we will talk, and it will be a blast. I'm so excited to have you with me on the show. Carol, welcome to the show. How are you, my friend?
I am good.
So good to have you here. Thank you for being a part of this discussion.
Oh, I'm glad this is a topic.
Me too. Me too. Tell me a couple of things. Do you have anxiety, and where do you think it comes from?
I do have anxiety. I was, you know, a little bit of everybody, the two people and yourself, you know, who've spoken. It's like, yep, I've done that. I've had that.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. Here it is.
Yeah. Let me know. Let me have it. No. You've done this before with me. You know you're safe with me. Let me tell you something. My mama taught me this wonderful thing that helps me. She said, this is how I got through high school. She said, there's always a door you can run through. So anybody who ever calls the show, I'm saying officially right now, any of my shows here at LA Talk Radio, the always a door you can run through policy applies, which means if you got to go, you just say, thanks for taking my call. I got to go. Or honestly, just hang up and I'll cover for you. So nobody ever has to feel pressured to be here or pressured to stay on the air with me. How's that for taking the pressure off, baby?
Awesome.
You talk as long as you want and you don't feel like you got to stay.
And I was breathing while you were talking. There's a, you know, where it comes from. I think I've had it a lot my whole life.
Yeah.
But when I was little, I've mentioned a few times that there's this big ball that would come out of the closet. I can't remember if it was yellow or red. I think it was yellow. But it would just keep getting bigger and bigger. We didn't have doors on our closets. It was, you know, in the 70s.
Right.
It was curtains. So the curtain was open, but this ball would come out, and it would start little and just keep getting bigger and bigger in my chest.
Wow.
Would, you know, get heavy. I would just, it would almost take my breath away.
Mm.
But do you think that's anxiety? I only didn't have it a lot.
God,
there
yes.
There wasn't something after.
I think anxiety, and I also think fear. I think that scared the heck out of you. And I think that you were very fearful. And then sometimes when something fear makes you fearful, right, then suddenly you have anxiety. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So like for instance, when I passed out 2 weeks ago, right, or almost passed out from the vertigo, it never occurred to me. And I've had vertigo from my car accident, so I get seasick and stuff, and I've had a really bad episode on a cruise ship the first night, so I know what it's like to be seasick and to have, but where the whole room is spinning in a 360, that scared the hell out of me. And once it happened, then I was terrified it was going to happen again. And then the problem with vertigo is, so, okay, so if you're just sitting where you are, right, and you're staring ahead, okay, so you're just sitting where you are, you're staring ahead, and we know you don't have vertigo. And you start wondering, do I have vertigo? Is everything spinning? Am I in the right place? Am I? Suddenly, things start looking like they're moving around. It's like the way that if you look at something in the dark long enough, it looks like the face of the Virgin Mary. Your body starts to go, well, wait a minute. Am I moving around? Do I feel weird? Trust me, when that happened to me, the room was literally spinning in a circle. So I know darn well that's not happening, but it's that little bitty bit of, but wait a minute, do I feel lightheaded? And if you start focusing on feeling lightheaded, you start to feel lightheaded. So I think with you, when you saw that thing in the closet, sweetheart, you were like, well, wait a minute, is that, what is that? And is that going to come back? And then you start getting terrified of the dark, of sleeping, of closets, you know, because you think every closet has a big ball of energy in it. And I think that's a lot of how anxiety, a lot of times anxiety, like our first caller, Elizabeth, said, a lot of times anxiety comes out of, you know, the fear of something.
Yeah. You know, with your vertigo story, that's one of the aha moments I had with myself when I was listening to you, is when I was a teenager, I had to drive my sister's boyfriend home. Well, he lived 30 miles away.
Okay.
I drove him, and, you know, Texas, it's hot. South Texas is double time hot. Anyway, and I had my sister's dog with. Anyhow, I dropped him off, came back out, going to get on the expressway, and the car got hot. Well, I went to a store, and I asked them if they had a water, you know, a hose. No. Anyway, they didn't speak English. Nobody could understand, you know, a thing of water. They didn't sell bottled water. Anyway, I fainted out in the parking lot and hit my face on the big post, you know, so you don't go into the store. And it was like, whoa, because I have this big fear of driving, that I'm just absolutely going to wreck. Yeah. Someone's going to come in my lane, and that's just it.
Right, yep.
My whole life is over.
Yep.
But I'm on medication. I finally got somebody to listen to me.
Good for you.
And I have a good... concoction, I call it.
You're on medicine for anxiety?
Yeah.
Okay.
And
thank you for being honest about
depression.
That.
And depression. Yeah. Okay. Anxiety and depression and I have PTSD from just losing family members.
Sure.
Which is, today is her birthday. Not start on the N-word again, but I lived with a person that totally made me question if I was even telling the truth myself when I was telling the truth. It was like, no, I'm telling the truth.
Right, yeah.
I even asked my dad, how do you not lie? And he goes, just don't lie. And I said, well, but I don't lie. Who's making you think that you're lying? And then I told him the story, and he goes, that's how I realized what he was doing to me.
Wow.
But I enjoyed
four years of that.
Oh, honey, I'm so sorry.
Yeah, but I'm still working on my anxiety.
Yeah.
Some days I feel like I'm sitting and I have the calmest, most happy outlook on life. Like I look out, you say, you know, with the rose-colored glasses or what happened.
Yeah.
Well, it's just everything is calm. You know how you just feel in your body? Everything is right with the world, you know?
Yeah.
I feel good. Everything's right with the world.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, I think I make something happen with my anxiety. Something.
Yep. Well,
and
like
my
me, right?
I used to travel.
Yep.
And I'd you were talking about having to plan everything out.
Yeah. Yep.
Oh, I planned his death.
Oh, my mother planned my father's death, yeah.
Oh, I planned his death. Who would I call first? What would happen?
Yep.
La, la, la. Oh, it was awful. It's horrible in this head.
Yep.
Sometimes.
No, I understand. It's,
And I drink a lot, so I didn't have it, you know?
Right, right. So
then,
how do you feel since you went on this concoction of medications that help?
I still struggle.
Okay.
If I don't take the pill, I don't realize that I'm going to do it or that it happens, but I'll yell at my husband about his driving. See, I used to be the one to drive. Nobody else could drive, only me.
Right. I've been through that. I used to be that too. Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, he should feel good that I allow him to drive.
Mostly just because I wanted to be able to stop the car whenever I wanted to and get out. It was like that.
Yeah. Well, I've driven where I've cried, driven and just cried while I was driving. Panicking. The fear was overwhelming.
Oh, honey, I know. I know, baby. I have been there. I know what it's like. And it,
yeah.
And then people say, but how could that happen to you? You're such a strong person. I'm like, yeah, but anxiety is really insidious, and it plays on people that are very strong and very capable, right? Then it's like everybody has to have an Achilles heel.
Yeah.
And
I'm going full force with people, you know?
Yeah.
I love everybody.
Right.
And I'm one of those people like, you said, oh, I got to be wary of people that I'm your best friend. No, I'll find somebody, and if you're the one I like, then that's you're the one I want to be with.
Yeah.
You know, I'll hang around with the same people, but I'll talk mostly to you, you know.
Yeah. It's true, though, right? What about the... what, you know, that's true, though, about narcissists, right? They all want to be your best friend in 5 seconds so they can suck you in so you're buying what they're selling.
Yeah. With me, I just like being around... I like being around same type people, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, I wouldn't know your whole story in 5 seconds, but I have had people do that to me.
Yep.
They just talk away.
Yep.
And then, yeah, this lady told me about her losing her daughter and stuff. And so I've lost my daughter. It's her birthday today.
Oh, honey, I'm so sorry.
Well, I know. But I told my friend that I drove down there to the river with, I said, you know, so-and-so, how long ago did so-and-so's daughter pass away? You know, I don't, and these are her friends. They're not mine. And she said, what? We didn't know her daughter passed away.
Oh, wow.
I was in the water with her for 10 minutes, and that was it.
Wow.
Ugh. We were both vomiting on each other, you know.
Right, yeah.
Or talking to each other about, I don't know. That was...
Yeah, yeah. Well, you know what, sweetie? I'm just so happy that you're doing better and you're getting better. And that...
I can fly.
Yep, me too. I'm just... Right? That's a big one, right? Being able to fly?
Yep. See my grandkids.
Big one for me, being able to fly.
Yeah.
Anyway, sweetheart, thank you so much for this call and for being so honest. And I just think you're adorable and wonderful. And I appreciate you being in my life. I appreciate everybody who called in. This is a tough one tonight to call in for. And I appreciate anybody who does, because this one is tough. So let me get Tina on with us. I just got this temporary, this is my new phone, but this isn't, this one's defective, and it, I have to, they're sending me the good one, but it's the XR, and it's the iPhone XR. It's so slippery. It's always slipping out of my hands, and I don't want to affix the permanent case to it, because I know I'm going to swap it out when the new one comes, hopefully tomorrow. That's a whole nother story with Verizon. And, yeah. So, okay, let's see if we've got, Tracy in the, see if we have her in the phone system. I don't know, because I lost all my numbers, so. No, I have Tina in the phone system, but not Tracy. Okay, so let me put Tracy in really quick. We're talking about anxiety. If you want to get on with me, 818-437-0886. That's 818-437-0886. We are going to get Tracy on with us now to talk about this. And I think that you are all amazing. And everybody who's participated so far today, how amazing and awesome are you? This is a tough one to call about. This isn't like a, hey, do you think you have psychic abilities? I mean, this is a, to actually talk about your anxiety and the cause of it and how you're dealing with it is extremely personal. And I'm proud to know you all. So I'm thankful for you. So we're going to get Tracy on right now. And this is Tracy's first time on the show. So she's tackling an important one, her first time out. So we have to give her lots of props. Again, if you want to get on with me, 818-437-0886. And I'm sure you're all chatting away in the chat room on Facebook Live and listening on LA Talk Radio. And I think that's so awesome. Welcome to the show, Tracy. How are you?
I'm good, and you?
Wonderful. It's good to hear your voice. Thanks for being on the show with me tonight.
I'm excited. Thank you.
So tell me about anxiety. Do you have it? Where do you think it comes from?
I've had it off and on throughout my whole life.
Wow.
And I'm just now learning that it's, like you said, absorbing other people's energy, being around different people, different places.
Yep.
And I was on medication. Then I weaned myself off because it was actually causing me more anxiety. And so then I just started doing breath work. So when I could, my friend just asked me, she goes, are you doing Lamaze practices?
Oh my God, that's fantastic.
I said, but no, I'm just breathing so that my heart rate goes back down.
Yeah, smart.
And like somebody just got excited and they walked past me and I'm like, okay, so let me just, it's not mine, breathe it out. And then it goes away and then I'm fine.
Smart. Why do you think that the, why do you think the medication made it worse?
When I would forget about the medication, I would be fine. And then it was just a routine that I had to take it. And then as once I took it, I noticed my heart rate. And I was like, okay, let me just not take it for a while. And then I was fine. I was absolutely fine.
Right, right. Yeah, it's interesting, then, right? How sometimes they give you something to actually speed you up so you won't feel the anxiety. And sometimes that works, but sometimes it just makes it worse.
Right.
You know? So the breathing really helps with you.
yes, it really helps a lot.
That's awesome. I've started doing the, you know, breathe in and hold it for 4 seconds and breathe out. The massage therapist, when I was having the attack, kind of helped me through that.
Mm-hmm.
And that seemed to be something that was very helpful. So I have been trying to do that. And also, you know, my best friend, who's also suffered from very bad anxiety in her life, taught me about this fantastic checklist when you're having a panic attack about something physical happening. She's like, okay, check your pulse, because I can get in, I can go into AFib sometimes. She's like, check your pulse, so you know you're not in AFib. Okay. Then you say, I don't have a headache. Nothing hurts. I'm breathing fine. My stomach doesn't hurt. My limbs don't hurt. I can see. I can hear. I'm talking okay. I'm not slurring my speech. Sometimes you just have to remind yourself that there's nothing going on. Because the anxiety
exactly.
keeps telling you something's going on. Something's coming for you. Something's coming for you. And I have a little tranquilizer prescription that I take when things get bad. And normally I pop one and then I'm fixed and that's it. I don't need one for however many till panic happens again, which thankfully, you know, up till this last 2 weeks has hardly ever been happening. But I've noticed an interesting thing when I'm so freaked out about getting dizzy or about being lightheaded or about being out of it, the tranquilizer naturally makes you feel out of it. So then I start to think, oh my God, it's the lightheadedness. And I have to remember myself, no, it's not. You just took a tranquilizer. You're supposed to feel like this. So it's almost working against me. And I've never been in a situation where my anxiety medicine has ever worked against me before. So that's kind of a strange thing to get used to. But it just seems to be like just a never-ending, you know, a never-ending litany of when you deal with anxiety, of it keeps coming up and you keep tackling it. And then you think it's gone forever. Then it comes back and you have to tackle it again. I mean, this is the silliest thing. I never in a million years thought this would happen. But there it is waiting for you, you know? And I'm sorry?
I had a friend tell me that sometimes we'll get anxiety or our heart rates will jump when loved ones are around or trying to get your attention.
Sure, sometimes, but usually not in an uncomfortable way. Unless they're very unhappy people and they're very unhappy, restless spirits, and they don't quite know, they don't know what they're doing. Like they're frenetic, so you're feeling frenetic. Usually when your heart rate goes up when loved ones are around, it's usually in kind of a, almost like a, you feel kind of giddy. Do you know what I mean? You feel
yeah.
that sort of excitement and giddiness that you feel when you're about to do something really exciting, like you're going to go to Disneyland or you're going on a first date, or it's that kind of euphoric giddiness is usually how you feel. And that does affect your heart rate, sure, but it's not really in a negative way, you know?
Well, anxiety is not, it depends on how you look at anxiety. If you look at it negatively as it, oh, it's affecting me, or is trying to push me forward somewhere that I'm uncomfortable with moving. And then it's just giving you that nudge to say, hey, you can do this, even though you're maybe afraid of doing it.
I love that.
But hey, we'll just push you a little bit further.
Yeah. You do learn a lot about who you are, don't you?
Yes, you do.
You do. You do learn a lot about who you are and what you want when you're, you know, when you're fighting to just feel normal all the time. What are the areas that you've really kind of conquered, and what are some of the areas that you're still working on?
Fear of holding me back. But I do push forward little by little.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, I told this story last night when I was on the interview that I was talking about at the top of the show. I used to panic about situations where there were lots of people. I hated being stuck in the parking lot, not being able to get out. I hated being in the middle of a row. I always wanted to sit on an aisle. So my mom and I got tickets to, I was, when I was working on the Howard Stern affiliate, the Pantages would send me tickets to things, the Pantages in Los Angeles. And they sent me tickets to go see the musical Sunset Boulevard. And my mom really wanted to go. So we went. And of course, it was the press night is also the friends and family night, and they wanted to give me the best seats, right? So we're right in the middle of the house and right in the middle of a row. And those rows are maybe like 30 seats long. So I immediately start panicking. And all the while the musical's going, like I would typically do, all I'm doing is waiting for it to be over so I can leave. And then a voice said to me, like, is this going to be your whole life? Are you never going to enjoy right. anything? Or is anything you get involved with just going to be like, okay, well, I just want to say I went. So 25 minutes, it'll be over. You never actually just sit and enjoy anything. And something in me kind of flipped, a switch in me kind of flipped. And I thought, you know what? I don't need to be panicking through everything. What is going to happen to me? And it kind of helped me to get right. through it so that I can actually go to something like that, go to a movie theater. And if my friend gets tickets and they're right in the middle of the row, I can sit in the middle of the row in a crowded movie theater and feel absolutely fine. And I didn't think I would ever be able to do that. I didn't think I'd ever be able to fly without tranquilizers, but now I can, and I'm actually quite happy doing it. So it's amazing to me all the things that I've gotten over. It's amazing to me the things that are still so hard to get over. It's interesting how some things go and some things don't, you know?
Yeah, I always said I was afraid of heights. Now I work in a 7-story building.
Really? Do you ride the elevator up?
Yes.
You're a rock star. Did you used to hate elevator? That's a hard one for me. That's one of mine that I'm still working on. Do you hate the elevator?
Yes. And every time I'm like, okay, I know I can get through this. But when I first did it, it was just like, oh, I'm doing it. And then after I realized, I was like, oh, wait. What happened to that fear of height?
Oh, wow. Can you look out the window?
Some windows, yes. Some windows, no.
Okay. All right. Okay. What was your fear of heights about, do you think? What were you scared was going to happen?
I don't know. That's the thing. I've always been afraid of flying, and I don't know.
Okay.
I don't know why.
Yeah. For me, flying was just I hated being trapped in the plane. I was scared they would never open that door again, and I would be trapped in the plane for an eternity with 200 people in a tiny bathroom. That was my fear of not that we were going to die or anything. And I don't have a fear of heights, aside from the fact that I completely hate elevators, so I don't like to get up to the heights. But if somebody could just, like, you know, it could just wish me up there, I'd be fine to be up high. I don't love it. I don't need it, but I'm okay with it. But I always thought I would be terrified to be in the middle of the ocean, and then I took a cruise, and honestly, the seasickness was what got me. I wasn't freaked out at all. It was just like being in a big old hotel that was floating around. I didn't even notice where we were. And every once in a while, I'd look out and see the waves and think, oh, my God, I'm like miles from the shore. Most of the time, I didn't even think about it.
Yeah, when I'm in my office, most of the time, I don't think about it until I pass by the window. And then I was like, oh, yeah, 7th floor.
Wow. Did you have a choice?
No, I don't have a choice.
I mean, so you had to take a job, and you had to take the job where?
Yeah. I mean, yeah, the opportunity presented itself, and I took it. It was just, yeah.
Wow.
It's not what I'm supposed to be doing, but it's what I'm doing for now.
You're supposed to be fighting. Fight the power, baby. That is what you're supposed to be doing. Yes. Fight that anxiety. It's exactly what you're supposed to be doing. Good for you. Wow.
Sometimes I think it's a control thing.
Oh my God.
I know once I get in the elevator, I know I have no control.
Yes. Yes. It's absolutely. Well, it's the thing I said with our last caller, Carol, right? There's always a door you can run through analogy. As long as I knew there was always a door I could run through, I knew I was okay. But in the elevator, there's a door, but I can't open it to run through it.
Right.
So then I panic. So, yeah. What are you still working on? Sounds like you've conquered a lot of stuff, and I think that's awesome.
Well, one, I didn't think I'd be on the radio.
Does this make you nervous?
a little bit. I've done Facebook Lives and stuff, but yeah, getting in front of an audience I was always taught to be seen, not heard.
Oh, okay. Who taught you that?
My mom, my grandma.
Okay. All right.
Kids are to be seen, not heard. Go play.
Okay.
So I think that's one of the things that sometimes really holds me back, because it's like, oh no, they're going to hear my voice.
Yeah, they did. But I'm thrilled that you volunteered to be on the show, considering.
It's one of my things that I'm trying to just push through and
good
conquer and say it's okay to be heard.
Good for you. You're doing wonderfully, actually. Do you feel more confident now because you're actually on the air and doing it?
Oh, no, my stomachs are not.
Really? It's one of the only things that doesn't give me anxiety. It's one of the things.
Really?
It's one of the things that actually makes me feel calm. Yeah. Weird, right?
No, because I think in the back of my mind is, oh, they could be listening.
Who?
What if somebody tells my mom?
Oh, really?
Even though I'm a grown adult, I mean, because, well, you know, you have Facebook Live and you don't think nobody's paying attention, and then you see numbers start jumping, and then all of a sudden you see your mother's name pop up, and it's like, oh.
Oh, that's hysterical.
Yeah.
But what does she think about your Facebook Live podcast?
Oh, she does not like it.
Really? So she's
no.
Wow, what would she think of what I do for a living? I'm just being seen and heard all over the place.
Oh, no. Yeah, that's a big no-no.
Oh, really?
I don't talk to my mom. She called me crazy.
So who's supposed to be seen and, you know, who like, what about people that are like newscasters and, you know, radio announcers and.
Well, it's not her family.
Oh,
she don't care.
Oh, okay. It's just a family thing.
You know, it's, don't talk about my family. Don't talk about this. Don't talk about that. You know, somebody might know something kind of thing.
Wow.
And it's like, yeah.
Yeah, that's, it's hard. It's really hard. My mom was very private. So it was always about you don't have to tell your personal business to everybody. So when I first got on the radio 25 years ago, I was like, I'm not going to tell anybody anything about my own life because I'm going to be private. Yeah. And then it's hours and hours and hours and hours of radio, Tracy. And what do you talk about? So eventually I started talking more and more. And then I would call my mom and say, oh, my God, I told this story. And she'd be like, oh, that's OK, honey. And I could tell she was sort of like, you know, her private lockdown Scorpio self was like, oh, that's okay, honey. And then she got to be a certain age, especially after my dad died, because he was could be such an anal retentive a-hole about everything. And she was like, you know what? Just tell this. If you need to tell any story about my life, your life, his life, anything that helps other people to grow and not go through a lot of the stuff that we've been through, just do it. So I kind of got the okay from her to talk about anything that I needed to. But yeah, it's hard, right?
Well, that's awesome that she gave you the okay. Yeah.
Yeah.
So, like, that's the way I feel. If I can help somebody so they don't go through it, it's the best thing.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. Yeah. And I appreciate that she gave me that freedom to be able to, you know, to be able to enjoy my life and not have to feel guilty every time I say something, because it's so hard, because you just do, you know, you have to tell stories sometimes. But you're doing wonderful, and I hope your mom never hears this, because I don't want you to get in trouble.
I'm over that. It's okay.
But I want you to know that you totally 150% did awesome. And I'm completely proud of you. And I thank you for being on the show and for being a part of this with me today. And for being honest about your anxiety and how you feel, and honest about everything. Thank you, my friends. Everybody, if you're in the chat right now, please give Tracy and Carol and Liz and Noelle a bunch of props for being here today and talking about anxiety, because it certainly wasn't easy. And if you ever, ever, ever feel like you're melting down and you need to reach out, I'm at Sheena@IamRaisingYourVibration.com, and even more quickly, you can reach me at 818-437-0886. And please, please reach out if you need me. I'm also at SheenaMetalExperience.com. I'm at LATalkRadio.com. I'm at IamRaisingTheVibration.com and RaisingTheVibration.org. This show is at RaisingTheVibrationRadio.com. Also at IamRaisingYourVibration.com and SheenaMetalSpiritual.com. That's my spiritual practice. And our online community are at the Vibration Nation group and a Vibration Nation page. And so many more outreaches of this movement of peace, love, kindness, and unity are coming. And thanks to LA Talk Radio for allowing Raising the Vibration Radio to be the first outreach of my movement of peace, love, kindness, and unity. Until I see you next week, find me on social media, friend me on social media. I would love that. Here's what you can do for me, my friend. Seek peace in all things. Always live in love. Always lead with kindness. And embrace unity. And the most important thing, you know what I'm going to say? Keep raising the vibration, because we need it. The world needs it. Your countries need it. Your communities need it. Your cities need it. Your territories, your states. Humanity needs it. The universe needs it. And I'm honored to know you all. I'm Sheena Metal. Till I see you next time, I love you so much. And thanks for listening. I appreciate it.
You're listening to Raising the Vibration with Sheena Metal, only on LA Talk Radio.
Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.